We'll look today at three short passages of Scripture, one's only a single verse, as we introduce the subject of a called people. And the first is Ephesians chapter 4 and verse 1. There it is. It says, "Therefore I," this is Paul, he's in prison, and from his prison, from his house arrest in Rome, he's addressing letters to various places, and this is the letter to the church in Ephesus. And he says, "Therefore I, the prisoner of the Lord, implore you to walk in a manner worthy of the calling with which you've been called." Then we go from there to Philippians chapter 3. "Not that I've already obtained all this or have already been made perfect, but I press on to take hold of that for which Christ Jesus took hold of me. Brothers, I do not consider myself yet to have taken hold of it, but one thing I do, forgetting what is behind and straining forward toward what is ahead, I press on toward the goal to win the prize for which God has called me heavenward in Christ Jesus." God has called me heavenward. Other translations would say the upward call of God in Christ Jesus. And then 1 Corinthians, which is the book that's informing our series, chapter 1 and verse 1. Paul, called to be an apostle of Christ Jesus by the will of God and our brother Sosthenes, to the church of God in Corinth, to those sanctified in Christ Jesus, and called to be holy, together with all those everywhere who call on the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, their Lord and ours. Grace and peace to you from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. I always thank God for you because of his grace given you in Christ Jesus. For in him you have been enriched in every way, in all your speaking and in all your knowledge, because our testimony about Christ was confirmed in you. Therefore, you do not lack any spiritual gift as you eagerly wait for the Lord Jesus Christ to be revealed. He will keep you strong to the end so that you will be blameless on the day of our Lord Jesus Christ. God, who's called you into fellowship with his Son, Jesus Christ, our Lord, is faithful." Unwanted telephone calls. We've probably all had them. They've become a feature of life in recent years. It gradually came and then it suddenly accelerated to such an extent that we have to have things like the telephone preference system where you register your name and your number so you get no more calls. The only problem is it doesn't work. And then we have reports in the news about large fines being doled out to companies who still make these calls. And certainly it has happened, but the problem is most of them are from outside the country, and so that doesn't work. And we still get lots of unwanted telephone calls, spam calls. The spam caller is a nuisance, wouldn't you agree? But he's not just calling for a chat. He has a purpose in mind. The purpose may be something like to get you to buy something that you don't want, or to get you to do something that you don't want to do, or to get you to know something that you really didn't want to know. And in our efforts to resist spam callers, we can cut out calls from those that we really do want to hear from, which is most unfortunate. Well, I'd like you to know God is not a spam caller. But he does have a purpose. God always works to purpose. He calls to purpose. So let's say how it doesn't work. It doesn't work like this. The voice comes from heaven. "Frank, Frank." "Yes." "Oh, nothing. I was just calling you." That's not how it goes. God always calls to purpose. And so as we take ground this year, what kind of people ought we to be? we ought to know that we're a called people. Now, what we're going to do is use Ephesians 4, verse 1, the first verse we read, which says, I've forgotten what it says. Walk in a manner worthy of the calling with which you've been called. That's what it says. We're going to use that to give us some form and structure as we look at the matter, and we'll look at it in three stages. So first of all, number one, understand calling. Walk in a manner worthy of the calling. Understand calling. In 1 Corinthians chapter 1, as we read in verse 1, it says this, Paul called to be an apostle of Christ Jesus by the will of God. So Paul is called to be an apostle. That's one aspect that we can see in that passage. Then let's look into verse 2. To the church of God in Corinth, to those sanctified in Christ Jesus and called to be holy. So the recipients, the church there, and us as the recipients, as we read it in our day and time, are called, according to the verse, to be holy. As another aspect. And then in verse 9, God, who has called you into fellowship with his Son, Jesus Christ, is faithful. So we're called into fellowship with Jesus. Well, that's three aspects of it all, but what does it mean to be called? We could say that to call is to speak to a person with the purpose of bringing him or her nearer. Now, that nearness may be physical. It may be closer. We call people nearer, closer, physically nearer. Or the nearness may be relational. We're working in such a way that the call reinforces and deepens and strengthens the relationship. So it's nearer in that sense. A call is issued by a person of higher rank to a person of lower rank. Who is it that gives me my calling? Well, in the Bible, God is the one who calls, isn't that right? He's the person of higher rank. He's the one who calls. A calling is a bit like an invitation. But it's not exactly like an invitation. I mean, it functions as an invitation. We're invited to respond. But if you get an invitation to a party or a wedding or something, you may accept that invitation or you may decline that invitation. And if you have to decline that invitation, you don't somehow or other feel like there will be retribution because of the decision you've made. And so it's not exactly like an invitation. It's stronger than that. It's a bit more like a command. Perhaps the best word that we can say would be a summons. God's call is a summons to us. Now, you could still ignore or reject the call of God, but to do so is disobedience. After all, if it's God that's calling, this is the boss talking, isn't that right? I find it helpful to understand calling as the answer to the question, what does God want me to be? What does God want me to be? Not who does God want me to be, that's identity. And not what does God want me to do, because that's mission. But what does God want me to be? Now, clearly there's an overlap because what we are to be and what we are to do overlap. But when it comes to what does God want me to do, it's better, I think, to use a different word, a word like mission or a word like assignment or even purpose, and reserve the word calling for what does God want me to be. And we can see that in a general sense or in a particular specific sense. Now, calling is not just for spiritual things or church-related things. You can be called to some secular area. For instance, you can be called to the marketplace. Some people would say, I'm called to marketplace ministry. You can be called to business or even to start a new business. You can be called to the caring professions. Some jobs like nursing are traditionally considered vocations. But vocation is just a different word for calling. The Latin way to say it. Now, I've never met one, but I suppose you could be called to be a bricklayer. You know, it's possible that somebody is out there that says, hallelujah, God has called me to be a bricklayer. And when I function as a bricklayer, I really have a sense that I'm fulfilling his purpose for me in terms of the kingdom of God. Of course, it's also possible that we might stumble into that job because the opportunity presents itself and it's something that we can do. For the most part, we don't need a sense of calling to do a particular job. For the most part. Understand calling. Second, know your calling. Walk in a manner worthy of the calling with which you have been called. Know your calling. It's probably best to say that there are two kinds of call in the New Testament. There's the gospel call, the call to be a believer. And that must be the starting point. But then after that, secondly, there's the call to the one who already is a believer. Those who've responded to the gospel call are referred to in the New Testament as the called. And that idea includes the whole of our salvation experience. The called are saved, and the saved have been called. For example, look at this verse, 2 Thessalonians 2:13 and 14. But we ought always to thank God for you, brothers, loved by the Lord, because from the beginning, God chose you to be saved through the sanctifying work of the Spirit and through belief in the truth. And so having chosen to be saved through these ways, verse 14, he called you to this through our gospel, that you might share in the glory of our Lord Jesus Christ. You say, well, are all believers called, really called? And I say, yep. I believe so. Therefore, you are called. Calling is not just for the special ones. We can see that just with a moment's reflection on Ephesians 4, verse 1. Walk in a manner worthy of the calling with which you have been called. As a believer, you're called to Jesus. Romans 1, 6 said, you also are among those who are called to belong to Jesus Christ. And then verse 7, to all in Rome who are loved by God and called to be saints. Called as saints. A saint is someone who is being made holy, being set apart to God. And we're called as saints, called to be saints, to use the language of 1 Corinthians, saints by calling. We're called into fellowship with Jesus, we read earlier. God has called us heavenward. The upward call of God. Now, maybe I'm weird, but I kind of picture this upward call of God a bit like an internal magnet somewhere in the pit of your stomach. And there's a great big heavenly magnet that God has in heaven, and he's pulling us up through this internal magnet, pulling us upward, the upward call of God. A very well-known verse in Romans 8, verse 28 and following. And we know that in all things God works for the good of those who love him, who've been called according to his purpose. For those God foreknew, he also predestined to be conformed to the likeness of his Son, so that he might be the firstborn among many brothers. Those he predestined, he also called. And those he called, he also justified. Those he justified, he also glorified. We're called to be conformed to the image of Christ. So this thing about calling, being called, is not just for the people whose names are in the Bible. And it's not just for those who are thought of as the big shots in the church today. It's for us all. What does God want me to be? Now, there's a general call for all believers, and we've just been talking about that. The call to be a believer, the call to be holy, and so on. But there also may be a particular call that you experience. A call that says what God wants me particularly to be. And it's okay to be aware of that, to entertain that. However, let me quickly say this. Don't picture that as some kind of route map or itinerary of your future life. Where you have to try to get it all figured out before you do anything. I'm actually not sure that we're supposed to know that, a route map or an itinerary of our future life before we begin the process of answering the call. I think actually we're supposed to walk by faith, not by sight, don't you? Also, if you do have a sense of particular calling, don't think that you have to bring that calling about by the strength and might of your own efforts. If it's real and you're open, God will do it. Paul was called to be an apostle. And others are called today to be apostles, and back in the Bible also to be apostles and prophets and evangelists and shepherds and teachers and a great many other things in the pages of the scripture and still today. Now, we said a call isn't necessary for a job and so on, usually. But sometimes it is. Sometimes a call is necessary. Sometimes it's a prerequisite. If you're called to be a missionary, for instance, or a pastor, there will be times, in all likelihood, when you experience discouragement and opposition. And sometimes you really need to know that you're called. And if it wasn't for the fact that you're called, which feels like the only thing you have left, you would quit. That's why it's important to know in these cases that we're called of God to do that. And there are some jobs or functions, ministries, where a call of God is a prerequisite. I remember being before a group of preachers once in a former church whose task it was to examine me and confirm that I had the call to be a preacher too. Now, that's a bit scary. It certainly can be scary. I mean, you know what you feel and you know what you believe and experience. But you've got to convince all those other people, or they have to be convinced, they have to admit their assessment, that they can endorse your call. Well, I'd just like you to know I passed the examination. But I sensed that that wasn't it all. That I was called into something even deeper, and I could say various things that were tokens on the way, but that's for another occasion. But I still sensed that there was something deeper, which essentially was that I was called into full-time pastoral ministry at some stage. And as the Lord's leading continued, I moved out of that church and into this church. And still sensing that same call. And then I applied for a promoted position in my work. At the time, I worked as a school teacher. And so there was a promoted post at the same school that I was already at that came up. And I was encouraged to apply for it. I kind of wanted to, so I applied for it. Went to interview and did all right, to be honest. In fact, they said to me that they would have been happy to give me the post. But I was pipped to the post, as it were, by one person who did better. And they gave it to him. But afterwards, the organizer who was in charge of the interviews said to me, he said, there's another post like this coming up very soon at one of the Glenrothes schools. And he encouraged me to apply for it and led me to expect that I might well be successful. So I wasn't quite sure what to do. Should I go that way or not? And very soon after that, just a couple of days after that appointment, we had a men's breakfast planned. So I was along at this men's breakfast. And after the speaker had spoken, we broke up into groups of three or four people to pray for one another. And in my group of four, there was four of us just round the table or something. And I shared briefly about my dilemma. And one of the people there had a prophetic word. And it went like this, or opened up like this. I question you today. What are the desires of your heart? I have placed these desires there that you should walk in them. There were some other words, some of which I don't remember, but it came back at the end to the same statement again. I question you today, what are the desires of your heart? So I thanked the person for the word, but then I already knew what the desires of my heart were. And so taking that prophetic word as a confirmation and as something worth considering, I didn't apply for any more posts, any more promoted positions. I let it go. And 21 months after that date, I entered into full-time pastoral ministry. Now, I say all that to evidence the fact that if you do have a sense of call, personal call to whatever area it would be, you do not need to bring it about by the strength of your own efforts. It's good to cooperate. But if it's real, and if you're open, God will do it. No. Your calling. Third, honor your calling. Walk in a manner worthy. We're called, we are a called people. We're to be a called people. And we are a called people. Sometimes it sounds like I'm saying that we're not warm enough when I say that, but that's not what I mean when I say a called people. So what's the alternative? What's the alternative to being called? What if we have no sense of call? Well, we'll probably think in that case that we've picked this Jesus thing on a whim. Or we stumbled into it. Or we sneaked through the door when God opened it for somebody else. We'll think that, well, maybe others can be loved and accepted, but not me. God just tolerates me. He puts up with me, at least so far. He might change. And we'll be insecure. We'll doubt our standing, our worth, and our value. Or alternatively, we may go exactly the other way. We'll be deceived into some kind of self-justifying place. And we'll think, ha-ha, I'm the bee's knees. And we'll think we're so wonderful that God is surely really blessed to have us, to have me and to have us. And if only we knew. We really need to know that we're a called people and that God, who doesn't need us, calls us and saves us by his amazing grace. And if you know what your calling is in detail, it may clarify. If you don't know what your calling is in detail, it may clarify. But start with what you do know. He's called you to be a believer. He's called you to be a disciple. Start with that. A disciple is one who believes, who follows the teaching of Jesus, and who obeys what he says. He's called you to be a saint. One being set apart, one being sanctified. Be these and continue to follow the Holy Spirit. Walk in a manner worthy of the calling with which you've been called. Your calling gives you a sense of responsibility and a desire to take that responsibility seriously. Therefore, no longer live your life any old how, if ever you did in the past. The fact is, you have a place in the heart of God and a part in the purpose of God. You have a share in God's plan for the ages and a unique part in God's plan for the church. You are not accidental, nor incidental, nor surplus to requirements. You share in and participate in the heavenly calling. Don't think it doesn't matter. It does matter. Don't blow hot and cold. Find a consistency because you're called. Understand calling. Know your calling. Honor your calling. Walk in a manner worthy of the calling with which you've been called. What kind of people ought we to be? We ought to be part, and we are, part of a called people.